Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Another episode of Tales from the Terror Dome. Your boy Dan's been busy. It's been a month since I put one of these things out, but we back. The off-season spring ball is over. We're going into them dog days of summer, man, where the only thing you got to look forward to watching is the Little League World Series. But today, we got a special one, man. Virginia kid, Springfield. This man is known as the Ginger Freak. We're going to get into how that came about. This man has been all over the place. He just recently transferred into Virginia Tech. He is a stud. Y'all know him. His name is James DeJonkum, and he's on the podcast, my man. Welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing amazing, great, and all of the above, man. It's a pleasure to be here, without a doubt.
First question.
Talk to me.
How does the Ginger Freak, man, obviously we know, like, the red hair, but, like, self-proclaimed nickname, or, like, was it given to you?
It was not planned, and in a way, it was given to me, not by, you know what I mean, appreciation or the fact I was doing anything good. It was back in elementary school. I used to go to, like, alternative schools. I wasn't a very controlled kid, say it like that. So then I went to these schools where, like, it was small classes, all that. And I would have, like, this, not acquaintances, I would say, who, you know what I mean, we'd be out in recess, we'd play together, all that, play 21. And then I'll never forget when it was, like, we was playing basketball, and then I think, boom, I passed the ball to Buddy. He didn't catch it. Hits his face. And then all of them start, like, yelling at me. And so I'm like, dang, what did I do? Like, did I throw the ball too hard or something? And then next thing I know, I remember everyone's calling, he's a Ginger Freak. That's why we don't play with you. You play too rough, blah, blah, blah. You don't know how to just play, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, gang, I just passed the ball. What the heck? So then it was like, it was that incident that started snowballing into the, oh, he's a Ginger Freak, blah, blah, blah. And then it was just, that was like my new nickname. Like, nobody would call me James anymore. He was just, oh, it's the Ginger Freak. I'm just like, oh, okay. And then it wasn't until high school when one of my boys who knew me back then, like, we always played in the same football, little leagues and all that. He was like, yeah, Ginger Freak, Kip. You know what I mean? Get him.
Yeah.
And I remember he said that, and I was just like, oh, shit. That low-key goes kind of hard. And then it was like my sophomore year where, like, I really added that as my Twitter hat or handle and all that. And then I really just kind of adopted that mentality. And, like, you know what? When I'm on the field, this is who I am. When I'm in the weight room, this is how I attack it. And then, like, it was like a persona that somewhat, like, I dang near created. Like, it's like I've always loved football because I can be my true self. I don't have to hide my aggression. I don't have to hide how I feel, none of that. I can go out there and run through MF or face with no remorse. That's who I feel like I always am. James is like the person I show the world, you know what I mean, that I'm civilized and all that. The Ginger Freak is me at my freest, at my fullest, where I can go create carnage and do whatever the heck I want with a smile on my face. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so it was like, all in all, it was a word used to, you know what I mean, throw slack on my name to bring me down, but I just turned it into a word of endearment. Like, all right, you say I'm weird. All right, blah, 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 blah. Shit, I'm the Ginger Freak. I do it all. Like, you don't like me? Okay, cool. The Ginger Freak doesn't need to be liked. Like, for me, it's just, it was something that people try to bring me down that I turned into my superpower. So that's really how it came to be.
I mean, 6'2", 258, that's what we see. Ginger Freak. You know what I'm saying? We don't see the kid on the basketball court, but you took something weaponized and you reclaimed it and spun it. So, Springfield, Virginia, DMV.
Born and raised.
Born and raised. Man, there's it's always been a hotbed of talent there. I work in Herndon. I lived in Ashburn for like 8 years. I'm very familiar with the area. Yeah. But like, so like, it's always been like, I mean, Grant Hill from there, like all these people are from that area. And then you go and have over like 300 tackles, averaging like 20 a game in high school. Mm-hmm. And you end up at Independence Community College in Independence, Kansas, home of Last Chance U, Coach JB, all that, Netflix, I remember. But like, how does that happen, man?
I fell through the cracks. Like, I mean, I can't say it like that. I can't. Like, I had a good amount of coaches D2 and low D1. You know what I mean? Talk to me, look at me. But like I said, like that that senior year when I hurt my leg, it was a dark place time. It was a dark time for me because my whole identity and being was around, oh, I'm this athlete. I can do it all, play basketball, run track, be a dog on the football field. Like, you name it, I could do it. And then once that injury happens, it's like everything that I was ever good at was taken away from me in an instant. And I was like, what do I do? Who am I? So then it was just, I just fell into a, like, I was depressed. I'm not going to lie. I stopped going to school. Like, once basketball season ended, in my ideology, I'm like, if I'm not doing the sport, why would I go to school? Like, I'm an athletic student. That's horrible to say, but that was my thought process in high school. You know what I mean? Was that I go to school to play sports, and then learning is just a byproduct off of it, which, like I said, again, it's not something that you should be proud of or should be saying so freely, but it's the God honest truth. That's how I thought. That's how I felt. And then when that happened, I just stopped going to school. I would just stay home, play the game. You know what I mean? I wasn't being productive. And then it wasn't until one of my former basketball teammates, he told me, he's like, hey, man, I'm finna go to One Life, trying to run some fives weekend. So then we go there, and then by coincidence, we run into his trainer. And then this dude, he just looks at me, he's like, why are you not in college? Like, he thought I was a college cat. And I was just like, nah, sir, I'm still in high school. And then we started talking, he's like, so who's your trainer? And I'm like, I don't have one. I just work out by myself. And he's like, so you're a senior in high school, you have no trainer, and you want to play college football? I'm like, I mean, I did, but it's kind of, doctor said it's over with for me. I can't lift my foot no more. I have drop foot. And he said, you're like, doctors, they don't know what they're talking about. You come work out with me and I'm going to get you right. And it was from that day. What was it? That was 2019, 6 years ago. We've been working out consistently since. That man, Coach Nana, he was right. Doctors, like, it, you know what I mean? The nerve, it did take a while for it to fully heal up. But after, like, 3 years of good rehab, and once I got to Arizona State, they fixed me up great. It was just I was able to play and ball, run free. And if it wasn't for him having that belief and confidence in me, I would have – the journey that I went on, I would have not been able to be on it without a doubt, without him. Like, he gave me the confidence to reclassify. He gave me the confidence to go junior college when I – like, my thought process at junior college was that, oh – I'm above it. I don't need to go junior college. Like you said, oh, I averaged 22 tackles in high school. Like, I know I could play at any Division I college, but no Division I college wanted me. So it was like, it was just that realization that, look, you know what? You're going to have to scratch, claw, and climb to get to where you want to get to. And it's not going to be easy, but shit, nothing in life is. That's worth something.
Nothing. Independence, Kansas, man. It's a far cry from the – from Northern Virginia.
It is.
What was that? You were there a year, like.
I was there 2020 to 2022. So I was there. Yeah, I was there two years.
How was what was that? I mean, what was that experience like? Is there anything to do there? Or is it all just lock in and ball?
It's like people go there. They're like, man, I'm in the middle of bum. I'm in the middle of bum nowhere. There's nothing to do, blah, blah, blah. Oh, I hate it here. I want to go home. I had a blast. I loved Kansas so much. Like, being out in the country, going to the lake, going fishing. You know what I mean? Just, like, cookouts by the lake. Like, I just loved being outside and the slow town feel, the small town. Like, everyone knows me. If I go to Walmart, they'll come up to me, like, saying, oh, you play for Independence? Like, it, without a doubt, was so fun. And, like, a lot of people who go there are from the city, and, like, I'm somewhat from the city, too. So it's, like, it was a little bit of a culture shock. But once I got used to the culture, I said, oh, this is lit. I love it. Bonfires, like, can't go wrong with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, everyone's experience is definitely different. But mine's great time, without a doubt.
How prevalent was that they were on Last Chance U there? They still talk about it?
It wasn't like a household statement. Like, we were on Last Chance U, blah, 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 blah. That's why Last Chance U came here, because we were the best.
Yes.
It was just, hey, Last Chance U was here. We running out of the Last Chance U money. You know what I mean? We're going to use the clout from Last Chance U to get y'all recruited. But it's on y'all. Like, that was like Coach Donerson's main thing was that everything from this point on is on you. Like, if you want to go Division One, it's on you. It's on based off your work ethic. You're gonna go as far as you want to go. He like, cause his biggest thing is that I can lead you to the water, and I'm great at that, but I'm horrible at making you want to drink. I can't force you to drink. So it's like his like being there was that if you want to be there and you want to be great, oh, he's gonna work with you and he's gonna get you to where you want to get to. But if you're just there, just going through the motions, like, oh, I don't really know what I want to do. I'm just doing this because all I know. And it's like, you're going to get lost. And I've seen so many people in junior college that are great athletes. I mean, better than myself. That just fell through the cracks because their mentality wasn't what it should have been. And that's why, like, going JUCO is you can be a freak athlete, but if you don't have the necessary mentality, then it's like you're probably going to fall out.
Yeah, that's pretty big now that the NCAA is letting or giving extra eligibility for JUCO kids.
Yeah, that was huge. That, man, that was a sign from God, like, without a doubt.
Yeah. If you love Kansas summers, you're going to love Blacksburg summers because it's basically the same. Like, you just lock in and train, and then Dante Lovett, he'll tell you where all the fishing spots are. Like, you find them. Yeah.
Yeah, he's you'll my know. Neighbor.
Yeah, he's getting the lay of the land. He knows where all the spots. He's always asking on social media where's the fishing spots.
I'm not gonna talk to him after this.
You need to get linked up with Sergio Render too. He played at Tech a long time ago. He's still around sometimes, but he's big into fishing and hunting and all that.
Sergio Render, got you. Bet that.
Yeah, and then yeah, man, Independence, Kansas to Tempe, Arizona.
Mm-hmm. That was
Arizona State. Did you visit before you committed?
I did not.
Oh, Coach, but you had an idea.
Yeah, Coach said, look, we want you. You're a great athlete. But with the stuff that went on during COVID, NCAA is breathing down our necks, so we can't bring you on a visit. But he just emphasized it that we really want you. And if you want to come here, you're going to play. But whatchamacallit. Yeah, so that process, I ended up not – so I was eligible to leave that winter of 2021, and I had a good amount of offers. I think I had like 10 FCS offers or FBS offers, one of the two. And I was going to go to UTSA, but the feeling wasn't there for me. And I was just like, you know what? It doesn't seem like home right now. So then I decided to go back to junior college for that spring, go through spring ball in 2022 at Independence. And then from there, just try to revamp my recruitment, try to get a Power Five if I could, because that was the mentality that I had was that I reclassified. I've been in JUCO for two seasons. I got to go Power Five. And this is a mentality that I do not support. It is a horrible mentality to have. Go where you can play. I'm just going to emphasize that real quick. But my mentality was that either I go Power Five or I'm a bust right now because I put in all this work and every single day I see these kids getting the offers that I work so hard to get that I know they're not working as hard as I'm working to get. So it was just like, I got to go Power Five or nothing. And the first Power Five school to offer me, I'm going. It was just, I would always pray to God, just tell him that, just like, just give me one Power Five. I don't care where it's at. I will go anywhere in the country. You just tell them to send me that offer and I'm there. And then it was really late in the summer recruiting. It was like June 6th around June 6th. And by that time I was pissed because no Power Five was talking to me, looking at me. I just got off my visit from LA Tech and I just wasn't feeling it. And then I was just like, dang, so what's the plan here? Because I was kind of mad. I didn't really like school. So I was like, you know what? There's an XFL trial the 21st. I'm already 21. Let's try to make something happen. You know what I mean? College, they didn't want me in college. So you know what? I'll go straight to the XFL, turn up the XFL, do 2-3 years there, and then go to the league. I don't need college. Like, that was my thought process. I was like, you know what? I can do this by myself. I can get it out of the bud. Like, I can go to the league straight out of JUCO. Like, you ask, I'm not gonna lie. You asked some people from my old teammates. I had to process that. I'm gonna go to the league straight out of the JUCO. I don't need to go to college. That's very confident in my ability. But so then it wasn't until right after that LA Tech visit, it was probably like a day, I get a call from the Arizona State DC saying he wants me to come out, or not come out, but they want me to come down the 19th, not to visit or anything, but just come down, move in. That's my move-in date. And as soon as I post that offer, floodgates. The recruitment I've always wanted finally came to be. Auburn started texting me. Ole Miss was in my phone. Like, I was just getting that recruitment that I finally wanted. But then in my head, I'm like, what are you doing right now? You prayed to God for have this one offer. Now you got it. You want to talk to other coaches? Like to me, it was like, this is the sign that this is where I need to be. Even though you can't take a visit there, it's like, you can look up pitches online. There's more than enough. And that's what I did. And, like, to me, it was just – I did talk to Auburn for, like, a day or two, but just hearing what they had to say, and I was like, look, it doesn't feel like y'all really searched for me and wanted me out of that portal, so I'm going to go with ASU. And then when I got there, yeah, that was – that first fall camp, that was one to remember, without a doubt.
Was that Herm Edwards or was that Dillingham?
That was Herm Edwards.
Yeah. The Sox, man. I'll never forget the Sox. He always had the Sox on ESPN. Mm-hmm. But you play to win the game. Oh, no. That guy.
That's
crazy.
Right.
Yeah. But
it was a miracle play. Yeah.
Yeah. Arizona State, obviously. How was Tempe? Was it? I mean, I haven't been, but I've heard great things about that campus.
You know how they say it's the number one party school in the nation?
Yeah, I believe that.
They wasn't lying. Oh, it was lit, man. It was lit. Yeah, Tempe was fun. But, like, my thing is, coming out of JUCO, like, first year especially, I was blinded by all that. I think I probably went out one time that first, like, year there because I was so focused on, I need to get onto the field. I need to play. Like, I know I can play. Like, I was so engulfed in the grind and just, like, knowing I can get onto the field. I was like, and plus, I got there in the summer. So, it's, like, right football season. Like, nothing else is on my mind besides that. And then, yeah, like, it was just a grind that first year. I ended up switching positions after the fourth game. Head coach got fired after that game, too. But then I think it was starting fifth game. We was playing USC, and I was at defensive end, rushing to tackle Caleb Williams. That was fun. I was playing the Coliseum. That was probably the first and only game that I'm in warmups. I'm not starting. I'm probably not even going to see the field a little. Like, I'll probably get special team reps, you know what I mean, here and there, but I'm not, like, an actual active player. And I'm low-key in warmups, just looking around like, yeah, kind of nervous. I'm not gonna lie. This is it's a lot of people. Like a real life gladiator when you're in the Coliseum. It's crazy.
Well, but, yeah. Go ahead. My fault. I was like, PFF has you as like the fourth best special teams player in the country.
Oh yeah, I like that because that was my role.
Yeah.
Like, coach told me they didn't whatchamacallit lie to me or anything like that. They're like, look, you had a great fall camp, but we got these two senior guys and a junior who were working in the rotation. We think you can play too, but there's only two linebacker spots, and we're really trying to get those senior guys reps. I said, you know what, coach? Hey, I love them boys. You know what I mean? We'd be having some great conversations. So say no more. Just tell me what you need me to do. I'm going to get it done. He said, I need you on all four core special teams. I said, shit, coach. I'll be the best special teamist in the nation.
Yeah.
I was top four, came close, but you know what I mean? They just told me what my job on the team was. I just try to execute it to the best of my abilities because, like, the one thing I will never understand is people looking down on special teams. Like,
right.
You get paid millions in the league. Probably not millions, but, like, you can get a nice
millions,
check. Yeah. Playing special teams. Shit. I'll be a four-core in the league any day of the week.
Anything. Normally what keeps you around.
Like, what? Oh, yeah.
Like, if you're a bubble player for the 53, mm-hmm. and you're good on special teams, they're keeping you.
I'm saying that's why it's like when coach told me, oh, I'm a special teamist that season. I said, shit, say no more. I'll be the best one on the team. And lo and behold, every Sunday meeting, there goes Ginger crashing out again.
Yeah.
I was always that. I was that L5 on kickoff, or I was that L3. I love playing the L5. Hands down, best position on special teams. And L3 is pretty fun too. You get to take on the double teams.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, special teams first. Whatchamacallit, first season at Arizona State. It was my role, and I executed to the best of my ability.
Caleb Williams, like we all know, like he was like that, but in live action, was it crazy? Like his ability?
Yeah, he made some, like it would, yeah. He's made some crazy plays. Like, I can't lie. Like, fumbled the joint and picked it up and then threw it. I don't think that was against us, but I remember seeing that on Twitter and stuff. Like, that dude, he's a crazy gifted athlete, without a doubt. What am I? Yeah, I'm 0-3 against him, too.
Hey,
Yeah,
a lot of
but,
people were.
Oh, man, I'm going to change that once we get to the league. But,
yeah,
he actually beat me in high school. I'll never forget that game. That shit. It was when I was at Avalon. We was playing Gonzaga, and it was like 44-7. And I remember, boom, we're leaving the game, and then I had my bag, duffel bag, all that. And I'm leaving out, and I see these two girls like, oh, my God, it's Caleb Williams. Trying to, like, talking to me. I'm like, I remember I just got so pissed. I was like, I'm not even wearing the uniform. Like, what sense does that make?
Yeah.
We're freaking golden. What were we? We're golden black. And there was purple and I think purple and white. I don't know. That shit made me mad.
You should have finessed.
Hell yeah, Caleb Williams. What's up? What's your Instagram? Oh, that'd be funny.
So you said you took the train an hour and a half every day in high school?
Hour 45. I get a ride to the metro, or sometimes take the bus to the metro.
Yeah.
And then from there, I take like the blue line. I mean, this is all like DMV stuff, but I take the blue, yellow, then yellow to the red, and I just take the red line all the way up to Wheaton. And then whatchamacallit. Yeah, I do that every single day. Sometimes even after games when I ain't get a ride home. Like, it was something like, it's definitely a story. You know what I mean? Like, probably gonna have a book on it. Like, I never,
well,
have
you
saying?
talked to Laws about his experience?
Oh, no, I haven't. I definitely
He was
got
taking the train like 3.5 hours one way just to go to DeMatha.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Yeah, you should holler at him about it. It was crazy.
But, yeah, man, it's just like, for me, going through it was like, okay, this is like, I don't know. I know why I'm doing this, but, like, damn, this is a grind. Like, shit. But then, like, just looking back on it, like, I traveled 1:45 every single day. And then when I got to JUCO, everybody who had the mentality of, like, man, this is so hard, blah, 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 I'm away from my family, this, that, and the third, they didn't make it. But me having that background of having to travel so far just to go work out, just to go practice, and now having all of that in walking distance, oh, it was shit. Yeah, it's like, it was better than what I was ever used to. And that's why, like, JUCO was such a great experience for me. Because I do feel like it's a bad experience for those who are bounce backs. Like, when you don't have and now you have, you're like, dang, I got it all. But when you have and you don't have, it's like, dang, I lost it all. So it's like you never realize what you're missing until you miss it, kind of thing.
And then you transfer, you leave to go to Eastern. Well, that second time you enter the portal, what was that like? Like, was it easier process the second time around?
Nah, it was hard. It was way harder the second time around.
What was that experience like for you? The second time, how'd you end up at Eastern Michigan?
Yeah, so like second time around was like, let's see, hold on, I gotta plug in my phone, charging, it's about to die. But the second time around was, it was definitely harder than the first time because, I mean, first time I came out, I already knew the coaches that I had offer-wise, and I had way more time to really figure out where I want to go. And then it's like I already had a thought that I knew I wanted to go Power 5. So as soon as that Power 5 hit me up, it's like, boom, easy decision made. As far as the second time, I already spent 2 years. I have 1 year left of eligibility. My biggest thought process is I can't go somewhere and play the politics. I can't go somewhere and have to, I'm not saying work my work. Obviously, nothing's given. It's always earned. But it's like, I'm not trying to go somewhere with a 4-year starter senior and they're bringing me in to potentially take a spot. Like,
Right.
no, that's politic wise. It's been for 4 years. You're going to trust a player who's been playing for you for 4 years. Like, that's how the cookie crumbles in college football, or the person you pay the most kind of thing. So my biggest thing was that I'm just going to go somewhere where I know there's none of that politics, where I know that they want me without a doubt, and that I'm a play. I need film for the league. And that's my biggest thing, going to that second portal the second time, was I just need film. Like, it don't matter where it's at. I don't care what level. I need for sure knowledge that I'm going to play and I'm going to get film. So hitting it up, I think Needham was like the third coach from Eastern to hit me up. And I mean, he texted me like, "What's up, Ginge?" Blah blah blah. And it was like a home field. Like, he wasn't super uptight or anything like that. He was just chill, relaxed when we was texting. So it was like, I didn't feel like I was being pressured into committing or anything. And then it wasn't until like he started talking to me about the scheme when I was just like, "Oh shit, this is music to my ears." Like, this dude's telling me I can play inside Mike backer, first and second down, stop the run, and then third, I can rush the passer at the end. Oh, hey, coach, you don't gotta tell me no more. Just sign me up.
Yeah.
Like, it was a hasty decision. I did make it very quick. I only took one visit in that winter, because for me, it's like, once I have my mind made up, and there's no changing it. Like, I don't care if another coach came at me with the bag. At that time, I was just like, "Look, you can throw me the bag, but I need to get on the field and play. I don't know how y'all divvy up your politics or anything like that, but they told me I'm gonna play here. It's really not about the money. I'm thinking about long term money, not short term money. So I'm gonna go over here." And it was like first couple of months there was hard, just adjusting to like the culture and the climate of the team. But after that spring ball and we came back, oh, it was foot on the gas, no break. Like, I was working night and day like a maniac in the facility. I lived in the facility. I slept there a couple of nights, new security guard. Like, it was definitely a grind being there. And it was hard to leave, I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, 100 tackles, 3 passes defended, a couple sacks, forced fumble. You were hooping out there at Eastern Michigan. But then you decide, yo, I gotta give this another shot somewhere else. You got the extra year. You came back to the East Coast. Cephas wasn't. I don't. You can. You committed before we got a defensive coordinator, right? What about Coach Pry and Coach Price and them convince you to come to Virginia Tech without even knowing like who's the defensive
What about
coordinator
them?
is going to be? Yeah.
What about them? Oh, they was wearing this shirt that had a V and a T on it. And
Yeah.
I just said, "Oh, say no more. I'm there."
Yeah, the crib, baby. The
Oh
crib is
God,
the
this is my
crib.
dream school. Like, when I tell people that, they don't understand it. Like, they just think, "Oh, I'm just saying that because I'm here." Like, no, gang, this is legit. Like, I've dreamed of running out from Enter Sandman. I've dreamed of wearing that maroon and orange. Like, and that's why, like, being here, I wake up every morning without my alarm. Like, my alarm's at 6:30. I'll be waking up at 6:21. Like, it's impossible not to start the day with a smile on my face. It's like, I'm home. I'm here. Like, it means so much to me, without a doubt. And like, the process that it took to get here too, like, because I did not like me entering the portal, going to Eastern. I was a little sad. I'm like, damn, I'm never gonna be able to put up that orange and maroon, never be able to play in front of my mom and like my hometown and all that. But once I heard that news of an extra year eligibility, I was like, "Hey, shout out to that boy from Vandy. I'm still gonna try to sack you, but hey, I appreciate it."
Diego Pavia, yeah, he got to pay for his sins last year, this year. Yeah, he gonna have to account for that one.
Okay, but yeah, it was a great feeling. Like, it was hard leaving my team at Eastern. It was really hard. Like, I worked my way to become a captain on the team. You know what I mean? Loved all the coaches and the players, and like, we became so close. I knew that this year going back, we have a run to make winning the MAC. But
I mean, I just told myself, it's like, look, you want to go another season with only seeing your mom one time. That's for senior night. And I just told him, I was like, look, it's been, what, 5, 6 years now? Shit. I'm trying to go back home. My last year, I just want my family to really reciprocate all the hard work that I've done and really just be able to enjoy it, just be able to come to the games, relax, be like, look, it's my boy on the field making the plays. Like, that was more important to me than anything. And that's why, like, making the decision to come here was so easy. It was just – the hard part was just saying, all right, now how bad do they want me?
Yeah.
That was just the hard part about it.
Well, the family part's easy. 66 West to 81 South, baby, all the way down.
But, you know it.
about 4 hours. That's it. JC, obviously, great coach. No BS about him. It's just done. Straight up. Like, he's just very direct about what it is and what it isn't.
And that's why I love him. Like, he shoots it straight. I told him I need that. Like, I need that NFL-style coaching because when I get to that league, I don't want it to be a culture shock. Like, oh, they don't talk to your players like this, bro. Like, no, like, talk to me how an NFL coach would talk to his players. If I'm on the off chance or astronomical chance that I'm ever late, shit, hey, you hit me with that fine. Like,
yeah,
because for me, it's like I want to be as prepared as I can for the league so that when I get there, it's like, oh, I've been doing this in college. Like, you said, this ain't nothing. Oh, you said 10 minutes early? Oh, say no more then. I've been here for an hour. Like, it's just that all that little stuff I want to learn right now so that when I do make that transition, it's not going to be a big step or a big leap. It's just going to be a shit. All right, this is what it is. And I'm used to it.
How's it been being the new kid on campus, but like a veteran in the room? Like, cause you've been around.
Yeah, it was definitely some. A lot of people had to get used to my energy. Yeah, I mean, like, I'm very outspoken, loud, vocal. So it's like people had to be like, okay, so he's normal, but he's just loud. He's not too crazy. All right, gotcha. So it was really just like, you know what I mean, like on the team. Okay, I can joke around with this dude. Blah blah blah. He's not gonna take it seriously. All right, this dude probably take it a little bit too seriously. Let me just mild down the jokes. So it's just, but like me, I love talking shit to my teammates. Like, I love just joking around with them. It's the best part of my day. Like, coming to facilities, shooting the shit. Like, I mean, shooting the stuff. My fault. Sorry.
No, you good. If you're not getting in trouble, I'm not getting in trouble. It doesn't matter to me. and they moved full-time DN, huh?
Mm-hmm. And that was probably, like, don't get me wrong, I would love to play linebacker, outside linebacker, because it is a fun position. Like, I'll probably be able to get some picks. But I know where I belong. I belong in that dirt. I belong, you know what I mean, throwing these guys around and all that, being in between 600 pounds and holding my ground. Like, that's where I need the most work at, and I'm going to be the best at. So it's like, I'm really happy for that move.
Have you bonded with the other ginger freak on the team?
That boy, Ben Bell. Hell yeah. Locker neighbor. He literally sits right next to me.
Yeah, he's a freak too, man. That dude's a monster.
I'm saying. I think it was Ginger Gang, my last interview. Whatchamacallit, it was trying to come up with a nickname. I like Ginger Gang, though. It's kind of hard. GG's.
Yeah, Ginger Gang is good. We were trying to think as well. And we were like, Gingerbread, but that don't work. Nah, that's a little too weird. But yeah, Ginger Gang is good. You got to put it on some shirts or something.
Sorry, sell it. Sell it at Metallica concert.
Yeah, is the team going?
Oh, that's a great question. I think so. We'll probably have a couple players going.
Going?
Nah, I'm going to be out of town. Unfortunately, I'm mad. And it was only $40 too for a ticket. Oh my God. What? I'd be so lit. I'd be so happy. Man. Maybe he let me on stage too.
That'd be crazy. How is the Sifkis comes in and then delivers, like, wises you up on the scheme? Like, how has that, like, how much are you looking forward to that?
Oh, I was excited. So when he first came in, I was a little nervous because I was like, okay, where do I fit in this scheme? Like, where do you see me? Because I can play anywhere in the front seven. Inside, outside, DN, shit. I've even played some nose in three tech. Like, I got film at everything. So then really it was that first conversation with him. I'm like, coach, so like, where do you see me? And then what I love most about that meeting was that, what are you best at? Like, you tell me where you're best at, and I'm going to put you where you can be the best. And I told him, like, linebacker-wise, I'm a run-stopping linebacker. As a DN, I do feel like I'm a pass rush DN. So I definitely feel more comfortable on the line than off ball, just based off of man-on-man coverage. Because if I had to go cover a two out in the slot, then it's like, I got no safety help over top. Shit, coach. You know what I mean? Ben better start playing. I'm just joking. I can strap that. But it was just like, you know what I mean? What I'm best at, probably not man-on-man pass coverage in space. What I'm great at, stopping that run. So we talked about it. We're like, look, let's try out outside linebacker. And we tried it out for a few days. I did decent. You know what I mean? Not super great, but I did decent. And then we're like, you know what? Let's try to move you inside, get you closer to the ball. You know what I mean? So you can just attack. And when that happened, it was just like, okay, I can't say all that, but it was like, okay, I just got to do this and see where the ball's at. Barbecue chicken, send them up. And then it was just like, I started making plays that first couple of days. And then that first scrimmage we had, or I guess, yeah, it was first scrimmage we had. I didn't ball out, but I did really good. Because my definition of balling out is like 3-plus sacks with a TFL, with a forced fumble. Got to have
mad numbers. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you know. But yeah, just making that move, I was so happy. And after, like, I had about 12 practices or 10 practices after that to really get comfortable in it. And now I can go a stance in either hand. I know I have an idea of which way flow is going to come to me. So it's just really learning the knowledge about the position and applying it. And all this summer is just about obtaining the knowledge.
Yeah. And then number 66, where does that come from? You've worn it twice.
Yeah. I wore it at Arizona State, and then I wore it there because when I first got there, they gave me number 20, and then, like, they didn't have any, like, 52s or 55s or even 50s. They're like, I'm a linebacker. Look, I'm trying to wear something in the 50s. They didn't have none of that. And I was like, I'm not going to wear 20. That's like a running back's, DB's, like, fast person's kind of number. That's not me. You know what I mean? Like, I know who I am. So then I was like, I mean, y'all got anything else? And he said, we got like a 59. And he said like two other numbers and then like 66. And I was like, you know, double-digit number, 66. Shit, kind of fire. Be kind of weird for a linebacker to wear it, but you know what? Make your own number. You know what I mean? Why follow somebody else like getting number, what was it, 50 or number 11 for Michael Parsons? Or like, you know what I mean? Taking somebody else's number, like 98, Max Crosby. Like, for me, it's like, I want to make my own number so that no matter who you see wear it, it's like, oh, that's a Ginger Freak's number. 66? Yeah, that's a Ginger Freak. It's like an unknown, like how like everybody knows 23, Michael Jordan. Like LeBron, you can wear it, but it's like, you kind of rented it. Like, let's be honest. somewhat. No shade on the gun.
Yeah. And also, home interstate, 66.
That too.
DMV.
That's like, yeah. So I could say it like that, but for me, it's just, I don't know. I feel like the number just fits me. I was thinking about 69 this year, but
yeah. That would have played into the – man, people would have went crazy with the theories on the Twitter handle and that. Yeah, it would have been crazy. But all the podcasts, we'd have had great content. I know that.
I'm saying. Call themselves the Ginger Freak and number 69. Wow, get a load of this.
Yeah, it has been like nice. Blacksburg though, like, have you found your spots to eat yet? Like, what are you loving around town?
This is probably the worst. I mean, not worst spot, but like for an athlete, cookout. Oh, that's my kryptonite.
Everybody loves it.
Like, cause like the last time I was in cookout was back in my senior year in high school when we went down to Myrtle Beach. And I just remember getting a full tray, like a whole bunch of food for like $7.99. And it was just like the bet, like I was eating damn near $10 every day. That's it, my full meal. Like it was wonderful. And then coming down here, like I live 4 minutes cookout. Like I pass it every single day before I go to the facility. And I see it every single day coming back. So it's like, it'd be staring at me and I'd be staring at it. And sometimes we just make that deal, or you know what? I'll run some cardio after I eat it. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that should be too good. Like the chicken tenders, like hands down, go to order is chicken tender tray with Cajun fries, and then you can get yourself another chicken wrap. So you get like four chicken tenders, and then you get a
Yeah.
Oreo mint, which we'll call it milkshake, and M&M. Chef kisses, so good.
You can fat fact of the week, you can put nine cookout flavors in your milkshake before they upcharge you.
Nine?
Yeah, nine.
Damn. I don't know. The most I did was like a banana, peanut butter, Reese's. Oh, what was the other one? Butterfinger. I think that was it. So like four.
Yeah, you can do nine, but I don't like nine's hard to do because eventually it just blends. But like,
Yeah.
yeah, I think I asked them years, like probably a decade ago. I'm from Harrisonburg originally, so I was in Harrisonburg, and I was
Pennsylvania or Virginia?
Virginia, JMU. Yeah, I'd been hitting it, and I was like, hey, how many milkshake flavors can you put in there before you upcharge? And they were like nine, and I was like, that's kind of OD,
That
but.
is OD. Like, you don't need nine.
Nah, you
Like,
don't.
especially if it's like cookies or something, like, it wouldn't even mix after the time.
Right. But around Blacksburg, I'm a PK's guy and sponsor of the pod, Benny's. Benny's Pizza. I gotta show
Benny's
love to
Pizza. Can't
Benny's.
go wrong with
Yeah.
that. Heck yeah.
Nah, you can't go wrong with Benny's. They got a Minova now too. I think there's just two spots, yeah, I think.
I'll say
But
this. Let's slide this weekend then.
it's crazy. Man, you're back home.
I am, man. It's a blessing coming true.
You get to play in front of the fam all the
Yeah, I
time.
think it's like 70,000. That's 70,000
Yeah.
fans, I'm pretty sure. That's insane. Can't wait.
So all this hard work, from taking the train an hour and a half to thinking you weren't ever going to play again to going to JUCO to ending up at Arizona State because you wanted to go P5. You didn't really get to play as much as you wanted. Ended up at Eastern Michigan. You thought the dream was dead. And now you're about to end college at a P5 at home. Parents get to come. You're living the dream. The only thing left to do is hear your name called next April.
That's facts.
That's it.
The first round, first pick of the draft.
Hey,
Freak.
man, you'd be the first one since Vic to go first overall here.
No, that's the plan. I'm trying to
Hey, I
put a
don't
name
hate
back on
it.
the map, without a doubt. But
Yeah, I don't.
that is one thing I will say, and I do want to emphasize. I didn't mention that earlier as one of my reasons for coming back home, because like you said, I've been everywhere. Kansas, Arizona, Michigan, and it was really when I was in Kansas, and as a JUCO, they bring in people from everywhere. Texas, Florida, Massachusetts, like it's a state in the United States, or even not United States. Like we had some kids from France and Germany come and play, like everywhere. So me going there, one thing I realized, everyone's like, oh, you're from Virginia? What? Like Virginia Beach, like a 757? I'm like, nah, like Nova. Oh, they don't got football players up there. Y'all ain't got no ballers up there.
What?
My exact face. I'm like, what you know about that, bro? We got some ballers. Everyone's like, no, in the 757, y'all got some ballers, probably. Michael Vick, AI. And I'm like, you're not wrong, but we got dogs in Nova. I'm telling you, bro, the talent there is not, it's not a step down from like a Georgia or a big step down from like a Georgia or Florida. Like it's the talent pool's not the best, but it's still like we got dogs here. So that's why like
Yeah.
my biggest thing like coming back to Virginia Tech was that I want to win. I want to win out. And I want to put Virginia on the map to show that hey, we're not just one of those politics states. You know what I mean? No, we're a football sports state. We play football, basketball, and we're dogs at lacrosse too. Like Virginia got dogs.
Yeah.
I wanna make that emphasis and you know what I mean, really promote that because I want it so that all these college coaches that from now on they're recruiting, they're gonna be like, you know what, let's stop by Nova because I know some crazy kid by the name of Ginger Freak was there and he was one hell of an athlete.
Yeah, we run the world in almost every category. We got from Vic to AI to Missy Elliott to Shaboozey to Tommy Richmond to Benny Blanco, like it's
I'm saying
everywhere.
he got it. Oh, yeah, I
Yeah.
forgot about him. He's from Woodbridge. From
Yeah,
Louisiana.
both of them, Tommy Richmond and Shaboozey, both from Woodbridge.
That's crazy.
Garfield High, yeah.
So yeah, that's why like that was my biggest emphasis, that I want to come back and I want to put Virginia Tech and Virginia and Nova Kids all alike on the map, because we've been getting slighted a little bit in the world's eyes, and I'm gonna show the world that hey, we got some freaking dogs and we're here to stay. So that's another reason. Just want to add that tidbit in there.
Hell yeah, man. What last question. What if I went through your Apple Music or Spotify, what am I gonna find, man?
Nothing you would expect.
I'll tell you that. I don't know what that means, but
so like boom, first song, like I listen a little bit of hip hop and rap. I really don't listen to it a lot. Since I've been down here, I've listened to a lot of country. I mean, like more country than I ever listened to even when I was in Kansas. So like favorite song right now is Going Down South, Head Over Boots, and Make Me Wanna. Those like hands down best songs. And then like that, I listen to alternative rock, and really I love oldie music like Frank Sinatra, My Way. Oh my god, that song goes so hard. Like, that's, and it really just all depends on like what I'm doing, what's the vibe. Like if I'm working out, I'll probably listen to some anime remix, EDM, hardcore. Like it's just a bunch of screaming in your ear that makes you really want to get the extra rep. Yeah, and then if I'm just chilling, then it'll be like some like country music or maybe some island music, just like chill, relax, lay back because it's springtime. But yeah, really, those would be like my big three, like country, alternative rock, and like, I guess you can say like EDM somewhat, and a little bit of rap.
Solid. Yeah, everybody listens to something different, so that's why I was like,
I'm saying.
Yeah.
So much country, I might become a singer. I ain't gonna lie. We'll see. After the league, hey. And then WWE? Who knows?
Yeah, aspirations are good, man.
Oh, you know it. You got a lot. Shoot for the stars, land on the cloud.
Absolutely. Hey, man, we're glad you're here in Blacksburg playing for the Hokies. It's going to be a good time. Atlanta coming up in August to be here before we know it. You got Shane Beamer and the Gamecocks. Time to send a message to the world that this ain't the Hokies that you've become used to.
Mm-mm. This is the new and improved. We're here to stay, baby. Let's get it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Hey, man, I appreciate you taking the time out of your day to do this and talk to me and talk to the people. And yeah, like I said, man, we're glad to have you here.
Heck yeah, man. It was a pleasure. You know what I mean? I love giving y'all a little bit in depth of your favorite player, number 66. Hey, anytime you want me back on, just let me know. Holler. I'll be there in a second.
Hell yeah. 66 on the roster, number one in our hearts, man.
Hey, you know it. One and only.
And as always, man, go Hokies.
Hell yeah, go Hokies. Appreciate y'all. You have a wonderful day.
You too, man.